to another episode of Podcastonomics. This is Craig Hewitt from PodcastMotor.com. Today I'm really excited to have on the show Doug Sandler, best-selling author of Nice Guys Finish First and co-host of the Nice Guys on Business podcast. Really interesting to dig into some of the business of podcasting here with Doug today. Doug's main approach to podcasting is around building his personal brand and continuing the marketing efforts of some of his information products. I think Doug has a really fantastic slant on how to conduct business and how to build a business in a really positive and ethical way. I think sometimes this is an easy thing for some people to forget as they're scaling up their businesses, and it's really great to hear Doug, have this message resonate with so many of us. And thanks, Doug, for putting that out there. So without any further ado, on to the interview with Doug Sandler. All right, guys, on the show today, we have Doug Sandler. Doug, how you doing?
I am doing great. Thanks, Greg, for having me on your show today.
No problem. So we like to start every episode with kind of giving us your genesis story. So a little bit about kind of, where you come from, what you're up to with the podcast, and how it came about with relation to, what business or branding that you're kind of supporting with the podcast.
Sure. Well, I wrote a book about a year ago, and I released it in January, and that was kind of the not the beginning of my marketing plan, but that was somewhere in the middle of it. And they said, hey, you got to have this best-selling book. So I put this book out on the market, and, lo and behold, it actually did become a bestseller, which was great. Between the book and my speaking engagements and all the other things that I do to try to make a living as a guy that teaches companies how to build better relationships, people want to hear you. I think a podcast is a great opportunity for people to hear what you're all about. It's really hard to fake it when you're on a podcast. After 5 minutes of faking it, if you're a faker, it's going to come, your true colors are going to come out. So for me, we do a 30 to 60 minute podcast weekly, sometimes a couple of times a week if we have some interview episodes. And it's been a great source of just people getting to know me. Our biggest concern, as we were talking about before, is just trying to build the marketplace. So I love it. I think podcasting has been a great avenue for me, for sure.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I've definitely listened to your show and love it. And you have a co-host on as well.
Yep. Strickland Bonner. He is he's the co-host of the show, and he's really the technical guy. So he'll handle all of the show notes and the production and everything. And I'm not a technical guy. He's not really a technical guy either. But one of us had to be that guy until we either found another company to do it or we figured out how to do it ourselves. Uh-huh. So that's kind of what we're doing right now.
Yeah, I think that having two people on a show is great. I mean, I do two podcasts aside from this one. Actually, this might come my third podcast, but they both have other people, and it's great because someone's out for a little bit, you can bring in a guest to kind of fill in. But the rest of the time, it's just that kind of I don't want to say banter, but that back and forth and that dialogue that you have with someone. Whereas having a podcast where it's just you, which is how one of mine started, is really difficult because then it's you, filling 30 minutes
you're making,
of space.
Yeah, you're creating your own energy. And I think that sometimes is a challenge. And what's great about Strick and I, the relationship that we have, is we're not polar opposites, but he's a very technical guy and I am very much a touchy-feely XOXO kind of guy. So for the two of us, it really does give our listeners a pretty good balance of things. And it just really helps to have a guy that's there to bounce stuff off of, and he has been a great source. Our format is pretty simple. I mean, we do one day a week. It's just the two of us on the air, and we talk about topics about customer service and sales and relationships and anything that involves solopreneurs, entrepreneurs. On the other day, we actually have interviews, so that's good. So I get a whole bunch of people from my connections through social media and through my business to come on the air with us, and that does give again our listeners a little bit more of a well-rounded show for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I like that having two different distinct formats. A couple of shows I listen to have that, but to be honest, I think that's pretty unique. I don't see a lot that just have, most are just one way or the other, and kind of random. And just thinking about my own show. One of my own shows is very random, where we have about half and half, but you could run three interviews in a row and then have a couple of catch up and, just me and my co-host.
I think
I like
our,
that.
our biggest concern is we thought in us being listeners to other podcasts, I think that the thing that really attracts me and maybe Strickland as well to other podcasts is the consistency. So if you listen to a show and it's got a news section, it's got a tech section, it's got a new and noteworthy section, it's got all of these sections, you know, it's like, oh yeah, well, when's that part coming up? Or they answer questions from the listeners. And I think that's great too. We're working on creating even more subtopics within each of our shows so that we can do the same, a call to action kind of thing and you know, mm-hmm. and a promo kind of thing and a little, so we're working on that, right? Our show is, let's see, it started in February. So we're about 4 or 5 months into it now. And listenership has been going up, but we're working on the entire plan as we are evolving through the podcast.
Yeah, so you're talking about how you wrote a book, best-selling book, and all this kind of stuff, and the podcast is kind of in a business sense there to promote your and Strickland's personal brand, right? And speaking engagements, consulting, and things like that around what you guys have going already.
That's exactly right. We thought it was just another tool that we can use, kind of like we use Twitter as a tool and LinkedIn and Facebook as tools. We just thought it was another tool in our bag to help people that are interested in our services. You know, it's really easy if you say to somebody, hey, are you interested in my speaking services? Well, you could either fly out to Michigan and hear me speak at a conference, or why don't you just check out one of my podcasts, and that will give you a great sense of at least my personality and the direction that I think that business should be going. So for me, it is a way to really enhance and improve and increase our brand. The brand that we bring forth in the podcast is the same brand that I'm showing through my book and through my blogs and through my posts. Everything is very, very consistent. And that's not because I'm trying to be consistent, because it's just me. I mean, I'm just, you know, I wear all my emotions and my business feelings out on my sleeve, because that's just who I am.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it just means you're being genuine, right? That's
yeah. And that's and you've fair. Got to be, like I said before, 5 minutes of having us on the show, you're going to see that I'm a goof, and that's just kind of my personality and my style. And it's almost like when I'm doing speeches and I'm coming out to talk to a business, if you are a very systematized type of business, I may not fit necessarily into your mold. I look for companies that are very, very personal in their feel. Their culture is a culture of nice, and you know, it's almost like I arrive at my point. Now, I may not have the best. I may not be a straight arrow. I may kind of get all sorts of off course by telling stories and everything. That's just kind of my personality. So those are the companies that would end up hiring me based upon listening to the podcast.
So how is the podcast fitting into, for lack of a better term, your funnel, your acquisition of new customers and speaking engagements, things like that? Is it, can you tell where people are coming into your brand from the podcast?
Oh yeah, for sure. I think what happens is the analytics that I use, I guess the way that I look at it is this: we try to direct all of our podcast traffic to my website. And certainly people are going to download the podcast from iTunes and from Stitcher and from other places, but it's very, very hard because they don't share, you know, unless I'm just missing out. I don't think they share much information. iTunes does not like to share information with people.
No, it's horrible.
So I direct all my traffic through my website, and I can see when we have, we did a podcast on time management, and the podcast had been downloaded, you know, within the first couple of weeks over 1,000 times. And that one podcast has driven so much traffic to my has helped me build my mail list, because when people go to my website, then they look around the website, they sign up for my email list, they buy my book. So it really does help the overall marketing plan of my business.
Interesting. So you've correlated sort of your successful podcast episodes with a spike in traffic on your website.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I can tell when I have a winning guest or we have a really great podcast, and Strick and I know those weeks that we really click, we'll promote the heck out of it. I use Hootsuite and Tweet Jukebox to get the word out on specific episodes. And I use the person that I network with, who normally has a big network on their own, because they're pretty up there with their social influence, to help me promote the podcast as well. And they drive a lot of traffic to my website as well.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I like talking to people about, because I think it's one of the challenges. Analytics is definitely one of the challenges and the lack thereof. But the other challenge is a conversion from, I call it on-air engagement to off-air engagement and like website engagement. What are you guys doing to increase that? So you have someone listen to the podcast. They say, wow, that sounds great. I want to learn more about Doug or Strickland. I'm going to go to their website. How do you guys call it actions, incentives, opt-in? I don't want to say opt-in Bates. That's a terrible term. But
well, that's all right.
Yeah, that's the idea. What are you guys doing that you've seen that really works to increase that?
Well, what we forgot to do when we first started the show is we didn't realize that you really need to have a call to action. And it needs to be early on in the show, because if you have a 20-minute podcast, the hope is that somebody's going to listen all 20 minutes through. Now, that's the hope. That's not, it's probably very rare the reality. Somebody might listen to 5 minutes at the beginning. They'll get back in their car later and listen to the end of it. So we try as quickly as we can to put a sponsor at the beginning of the show and put a call to action in the show. Our call to action right now is simply go to my website, answer a one question survey. What do you want to hear more of on the show? Interviews me and Strick, or kick us off the air as quickly as you can. So for us, and again, we like to play with our listeners. For us, the call to action really enables us to, and we get some response. We don't get a lot of response from it, but the goal really is not to get people to do the call to action to do the survey. All I'm trying to do is increase traffic to my website, and I would say that somewhere between 30-40% of my traffic on my website is led there through our podcast.
Wow, that's amazing. That's a ton. That's a ton. Yeah. That's, imagine not having your podcast.
Well, yeah, and I always think that, because I think, okay, well, my podcast is really boosting my traffic. But then I look at it and say, well, I'm also promoting my podcast, which is boosting my traffic. So if it wasn't for my podcast, I probably would replace those segments with maybe a webinar podcast. I mean, a webinar link or another link. I just don't want to a 15,000 Twitter followers. They don't want to hear from me 300 times a day. You know, if I hit them more than 20 times a day, I'm concerned that they're going to, you know, take me out of their following because, you know, I'm just spamming them. So yeah, for me, I really do a lot of promotion. I would say that anywhere from, I don't know, maybe 400 to 600 hits a week are hitting my website as a result of the podcast, and that's because we are funneling traffic through the podcast that way.
And that's out of how many downloads, say per month or something?
Well, and our download numbers aren't even that great. I wish they were bigger. We were thinking maybe we just aren't doing it properly because we don't know enough about how the numbers and downloads work. Is a listen considered a download? We don't know that. So since February, since we came on the air, we have what I would consider a small number. We only have 7,000 downloads. So I don't necessarily correlate the numbers. Maybe you can answer the question. Can somebody listen without downloading?
So yeah, they definitely can. And that's the tough thing is I think there's a couple of tough things with analytics. One is the numbers you get from Libsyn are, I know you guys use Libsyn for your media hosts, which I do too. They have some of the best analytics, and it's still a huge gap because downloads is the kind of the best thing that people, that you can get analytics around, because it gives you like location and device type and things like that. That doesn't include if someone goes to your website and listens there, which amazingly, because I'm a kind of a highly mobile guy, I listen on my phone almost exclusively for podcasts.
Me too.
And so all those websites, to my understanding at least, aren't counted on your downloads. So you could have people listening that don't count on your downloads. Conversely, you can have downloads that people never listen to. I have, 35 podcasts on my phone.
Right.
And if a show pops up and I'm like, oh, that's a lame topic, I'll just delete it.
Right. And I'm not necessarily focused on the downloads. I'm focused on how many people are going to my website, and further than that, how many people are buying my book, and then soon to be how many people are buying my online course, which is just another offering that I have for the public. So I don't – listen, if I had 5 downloads but I have $50,000 in sales in a given month, I think I'm doing good. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't care how many downloads. I don't care what that number is. As long as I see that the traffic is going to my site, then we are doing a good job. And that right now the traffic is definitely going to our site.
And I think what you're, you know, just a snapshot of those numbers you gave me tells me that you have a very engaged crowd, that your downloads are a couple hundred per episode, something like that.
Exactly.
But your traffic is at least that. So, you know, either people are telling their friends about it, or everyone pretty much that downloads your episode is going to your website to check out more about your brand. I think that's great. And I think that we have to look at the type of show we have and what its goal is. And for you, it's increasing brand awareness. And for me, it's the same, right? This show is to kind of increase awareness around my business. And what, you know, what podcasting can do for somebody. But
yeah,
with those, you don't need 50,000 downloads. You need 100 really good,
right,
quote, customers of your podcast. Right. And if you get an incremental amount each week, then your business will grow as a result of it. And that time you have invested in the show, which is not trivial for a lot of people, is a good investment.
And I've heard things like, and maybe this is just from a couple of different sources, so I'm starting to believe it. If you have 200, 300, 400 pieces of content that are out there circulating, whether through social media or through just your own promotion, then you have a pretty good bag of tools that you're using to engage your crowd. Some people are readers and some people are listeners. I have an audio. My book is just about to come out on audio this Thursday, so I have a paperback. I have this online training program. I'm trying to get as many, as well rounded as I can, so that whoever wants to engage has a source to engage with that would be appropriate for them.
Yeah. No, I think it's spot on. And I think it is the type of people that want to listen to a podcast versus read a blog post or a book or go through a course. It's also the type of information that you relay in each of the mediums. You know, mm-hmm. So for me, you and I couldn't do this on a blog, right?
Right,
it would
right.
be, it would be very long and very difficult to understand, I think, as a reader. And that's why I think a lesson for people, like you're saying, is to say, take the type of material that you're wanting to relay to your audience and tailor it in the correct medium.
Totally agree. We're going to introduce very soon. We're just starting to work on the outline of it now. A webinar format that's going to have a lot of the same information that the blog has, but it's also going to be a startup school for people that are just getting started in their own business, kind of like an incubator. Mm-hmm. So for us, that would be really challenging for us to do that through a podcast, because it's not very two-way unless I have each one of those people on a show. So the webinar format is great for that too. And again, part of the promotion of the webinar is going to come through the podcast. It all is part and parcel. It's just another part of my marketing plan. And it's one I enjoy very, very much, because it does bring me back to, as I was talking to you a little earlier about it reminds me of my college radio days. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're spot on there. And I see a lot of people very successfully using the podcast as, I'll call it, like the first touch with someone, and mm-hmm. the second touch is a webinar to get them more information about what's behind your business, and then the third touch is either a book or a course, both of which you have. And I think that's a great model. It's a model that I'm starting to build. You know, the podcast here is going to go live next week probably.
Oh, nice! Then, congratulations.
Yep, and then the course is. The course is going to come out in a couple of months once I get, you know, X number, like you guys have done. You've been going, you know, for a few months, get an X number of listeners and engagement and audience and everything behind it. And then, the course and then the business is behind it too. But yeah, I think it just makes sense too. Like as a listener of a podcast, I say, wow, you know, I listen to Pat Flynn. Wow, mm-hmm. Pat really knows what he's talking about. Oh, Pat has this. I'm going to go check this out. Oh, you know, it's like teaching your audience how to trust you. And then delivering the value through.
Well, and it's whatever. I mean, that's so true, Craig. I mean, it's like when you get to be an expert at whatever it is that you do, people will follow you. And if you are repping another product that you believe in, let's say that you're a podcasting expert, but you don't do anything with web hosting, but you happen to have a spot where your podcast resides, let's say. You want to send somebody to a website that you have hosted through, I don't know, GoDaddy. And so now you are your proponent and your promoter of GoDaddy. Now, because you use it, people want to use it. Mm-hmm. They like you. They want. They trust you. They know that you've already done the research. They don't want to have to do the research. So they're going to use GoDaddy as a result of you using it as well, or whatever that hosting site would be.
Sure, sure. Let me ask you real quick about tech, because I know it's very controversial. What's y'all's tech setup look like for media hosting and studio hosting? How do you guys do a show?
So the way our show format is set up is, first of all, I work out of my home, so it makes it very, very easy for me. My office is 12 or 13 steps from my bedroom, which is wonderful for me in commuting and traffic in the DC area. Mm-hmm. But my entire studio is right here, so I have a Blue Yeti microphone, I have a boom stand, I have Skype and professional recording software on my computer. And when it comes down to the actual hosting of the podcast, Libsyn does all of that, and they do all the analytics. Strickland does all the editing through Audacity? Is that one of the software programs? Yep. So he does it through Audacity, and I really don't know what magic he does on his side, but we had somebody do some voiceover work, a guy named Steve O'Brien, and he was actually a guest on the show one time. So now he's done a whole bunch of goofy ones for us too. So we have a whole bunch of good intros and outros. So we sound like you've heard it. I'm assuming that you think we sound like a professional show.
No, you guys sound great. And I love that you have different intros and outros, intros at least. I love that variety. I think it's, again, a different spin on the typical podcast.
Yeah. We do the outtakes too. That's my favorite part of the show, is the first 60 seconds or 30 seconds he does outtakes from the show. So, you know, you hear all of our flubs before we actually go live. Mm-hmm. You know, it shows that we're a human being. It's kind of like, looking behind the curtain to let people see that we're really are human beings. But that's just my personality.
Cool. Well, this is great. So we'll go ahead and wrap up, I think, if you don't mind.
Sure. Go ahead.
So... Yeah. So Doug, do you mind giving folks kind of information where they can find out more about like you and your show and your book and course and things like
awesome.
That?
Awesome. That would be great. Thanks for helping promote. My website is dougsandler.com, dougsandler.com. Best place to get my book, which is called Nice Guys Finish First, is directly from Amazon. And it's available on Kindle and paperback. And as I said, the audio version is just about to come out on Thursday. It's available on iTunes as well. As soon as that audio comes out, it'll be there. So somebody wants to get in touch directly with me, I'm happy to take an email or a phone call. Email is doug@dougsandler.com. And my phone number is 410-340-6861. I think people still talk on the phone, don't they?
Awesome. I think so. I'm amazed sometimes. But yeah, I think so. Good deal. Doug, thanks so much for hopping on today. I appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Craig. Best of luck in your new show. I love the idea.
Appreciate it. Thanks. All right, what a great episode there with Doug. If you guys want to learn more about Doug Sandler, head on over to the show notes for this episode, which will be at podcastmotor.com/episode9. Doug will be hanging out in the comments there answering questions you guys might have on business and podcasting and consulting and publishing. And once again, thanks so much to Doug Sandler for hopping on the show today. If you're enjoying the show, I sure would appreciate a 5-star review on iTunes. Helps us attract more great guests like Doug, and spread the word about podcasting and all the great things it can do for you and your business. So head on over to iTunes, search for Podcastonomics, and leave us a review. Sure would appreciate it. We'll see you next time.